Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, brought to you in part by Wellness Pet Food. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. And as always, wonderful to be here. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Julie. Great to see you on this happy Wednesday afternoon.
On this very ghoulish Dog Talk Show edition.
Yes.
Halloween.
That's going to be a real challenge. Are there dog songs that are also Halloween songs that I can pull up?
Well, you could at least play Thriller today.
That's
a good one.
Get that in, but I'm not sure that relates to dogs, but we'll try.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't know any dog. I'm sure there are, Eric.
We'll see.
And
we'll see what I can do.
You can find them.
It's a challenge, but I think I may be up to it.
Good. Well, we have Kat Albrecht on the show today with Missing Pet Partnership. She's going to tell us what they are up to. It's been probably at least 8 months since we had her on the show for the first time.
That's right.
And they've got a lot of new things going on and some interesting data from the 4th of July booth that they had at the Seattle Animal Shelter that I went to for a couple hours to check out. And it was really, really cool to see them in action. And they actually have some statistics as far as the results that they produced from just being there, helping people get reunited with their lost pets. Because around, 4th of July, lots of dogs and cats get freaked out by the fireworks and take off. So,
With Halloween coming up, is that a time where pets get freaked out as well? Well,
I think that's a good question. It is a good question. Yeah. See if she's had that experience. But I don't know of any, firework type things.
Well, I got to say, last time I put on a skeleton costume and went to pet my cats, they were not terribly excited about it. So
no. So we're going to bring Kat on the air and start talking to her. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Julie.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me back.
Yeah. Can you believe it's been, 8 months or something like that?
No, time flies.
It does. It sure does. So you've got a lot of new things that you guys are up to, new programs and new ways for people to volunteer for Missing Pet Partnership.
Correct.
But why don't you just start off and tell new listeners what is Missing Pet Partnership?
Well, we're a national nonprofit organization that relocated our training operations here to the Seattle area back in April of 2008 with the plans to launch the first ever volunteer lost pet search and rescue team and with the intent of ultimately duplicating this concept through partnerships with shelters and rescue groups across the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen tremendous success in conducting physical searches for lost pets, but even just educating and encouraging dog and cat and other pet owners in, and how and where to properly search for their lost pet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use various techniques and resources and things that we can get into, but ultimately it's, our mission is to reunite lost pets with their families.
Mm-hmm. It seems like so much of, there's so many different elements to your organization and what you provide for people. One of the coolest things is probably that you train scent tracking dogs to find lost pets. And tell us, how is it that you know how to do that?
Well, my background was in law enforcement, and I was a police bloodhound handler and cadaver dog handler and trainer. And back in 1996, my bloodhound escaped and was lost in the woods. This was down in Santa Cruz, California. And I immediately called a friend who brought her golden retriever out that I had helped to train to find people. And we had worked her dog and my bloodhound AJ in a lot of cases together, and we knew that her dog understood smell this pillowcase and follow the scent trail of the missing person.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know if she would understand, smell the bedding of my missing dog and find my bloodhound, you know. But she did. She tracked him down in 20 minutes and found him.
Uh-huh.
And that's what gave me the idea. You know, I know how to train dogs to find people. Why aren't we training them to find lost pets? And we have all kinds of detector dogs, drug detection, bomb detection, termite detection. Why don't we have cat detection dogs? And why aren't we physically searching for lost pets? Because we offer so many other services, but yet when your dog or cat becomes lost, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working to change that.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much that you do in addition to actually showing up with a dog.
Yeah.
Probably most of what you guys do in the sense of educating people and really supporting people, something that that's really stood out to me as I've been connected with you over the past several months, has been really just encouraging people, don't give up, you know, because it's such an emotional thing for somebody to go through, you know, my dog is gone or my cat is gone, and all of that emotion that's happening that really clouds people's ability or people's tendency to maybe want to avoid if they don't, you know, they might do this push for like a day or two, and then if nothing shows up, they give up.
Yes, yeah.
And in some cases, you've had people where it took quite some time for them to get reunited with their pets, you know, in some cases, even months.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, in fact, I'm coaching through email a gal in Los Angeles right now that is just devastated, but was on the verge of giving up hope on being able to recover her cat that escaped outside. And it's got a skittish temperament, so it's just, you know, a matter of encouraging her that, you know, humane trapping and using digital wildlife cameras that can confirm the presence of the cat. You know, she was hesitant to put out that. She said, I know how to trap and I've got traps, but I don't want to put them out there because there's so many cats and raccoons out here. So then I just simply gave her the advice she needed, which is put out a feeding station and a digital wildlife camera that will snap a photograph,
mm-hmm.
so that when you come back and the food is gone, then you can pull the card from the camera and look at the pictures, and you'll see raccoon, raccoon, calico. Then you know that your cat is coming to eat there. Then it's the process of setting out, what we do is set out decoy food for raccoons, which would be like a couple bags of marshmallows,
mm-hmm.
so that they'll pork out on those and not enter the trap and increase the probability that you can catch the cat. And there's even other, you know, more targeted techniques that we can use to help if it's a hard to catch cat. So, mm-hmm. yeah, a lot of it is just advice, encouragement, and giving new ideas. I just spoke with a couple that their cat has been missing for several days here in Seattle, and you know, they had talked to the neighbors, but they had not done the type of search that you need to do when a cat is missing, and that is your neighbor is not going to get on their belly and crawl under their house or look under their deck for your cat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the places where a missing cat is most likely to be, and that's the type of search that cat owners need to do. So if anything, you know, if we can avoid our having to come out and do a search, if we can encourage and educate cat owners in how to properly search for their cat, and a lot of this is on our website, and we get many testimonies from people that find their missing pets from across the country just because they found our website and our information is behavior-based, and it helps recover lost pets.
Mm-hmm. And what is your website?
It's missingpetpartnership.org.
Okay, missingpetpartnership.org. It's loaded with information. It's a wonderful resource. I know that as I've been out and about in Seattle, just, you know, going about my day and meeting with clients, and I encourage other people to do this too, that I've actually, when I come across a little, you know, 8x10 white, black and white flyer with a, you know, dark picture of an animal on it that says missing cat or missing dog, that I'll call the number and I ask if they've found it, and then just let them know about the website so that, you know, they have that resource. Like, hey, this, you know, with the posters, like those big fluorescent posters, and I've actually seen them around Seattle, and I know that those people have found you, and they're just so much more effective.
Yeah, there's actually, you know, we did a study on, well, not an official scientific study, but we basically researched information from the National Sign Council. I mean, there's a whole science in signs.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. the color of signs, the sign, the lettering, the distance and the miles per hour that somebody would going, and how detectable certain lettering, certain sizes, and what fonts work and don't work. Yeah, I mean, so there's been studies and a science to displaying information designed to capture the attention of people driving. And that, it has to do with advertising.
Sure.
But yeah. When you're looking for a missing dog, you're at your job is advertising. It's mass marketing, but in a very visible way. There's a book that was a key that helped me to make the transition or the realization that 8.5 by 11 white pieces of paper are not seen by people driving by. You know, people who lose a dog, they'll carpet bomb an area with a ton of these flyers, mm-hmm. which are fine for handing out and fine for posting on a bulletin board, but they are not getting the message out to people whizzing by at 40, 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so our website has the instructions on how to create what we call, using the 5+5+55 rule, 5 words that people can read in 5 seconds when they're going 55 miles per hour,
mm-hmm.
and they're on bright fluorescent signs, and it might say reward lost dog, white poodle, red collar, or black lab, blue collar. But when I say those words, and you can read those, you have a visual image of what the dog looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with an 8x11 little sheet of paper, all you might see is the word lost or the word reward,
right.
and no details about anything. And
correct.
Something that really... You know, as you know, people just don't know. I mean, I certainly didn't know this information before I met you and learned about your organization, is that like posting flyers, you know, around in the small streets of a neighborhood, but really it makes sense to, you know, use a brighter sign, use a bigger sign, but also go to the main intersections. I mean, it would be like, you know, we have elections coming up right now, so you see most of those, you know, concentrated places where all of the people have put all their signs out are in heavily trafficked areas. So, you know, and I wouldn't think, you know, I'd be like, oh, I got to, you know, put things around the neighborhood so that people walking around can see. But especially with dogs, they can go quite some distance. So,
absolutely. They can travel a great distance, or they're picked up by people that are driving to work the next day, or,
mm-hmm.
or they're picked up by family members or friends or neighbors. So another technique that we've used, but we don't have the volunteer base to be able to offer this service or go in and do this, that's one thing that we're hoping to do, is ultimately have enough people or volunteers willing to do what we call an intersection alert. It's also been called a protest. It's basically taking out the giant fluorescent lost dog signs, and then in sheet protectors we'll blow up a picture of the dog, and then again the in 100 size font, you know, black lab, red collar, and stand on all 4 corners. Well, obviously we need 4 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Some street corners are so large that we need 8 volunteers to be able to show these signs. It's sign twirling, just like people are doing with campaign signs or
mm-hmm.
cell phone signs. We're out there with dog signs and getting the message out to people passing by that this dog is missing.
Yep.
And we did this on the 4th of July, and we only were able to offer this to one family, and it was a missing Chihuahua, and within 20 minutes of our 3 volunteers standing on the street corner, we got the dog back. The woman who had the dog for 2 days saw the signs, pulled over, and they got the Chihuahua mm-hmm. named Suki back home.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about the successes from the 4th of July and your booth that you had, the Lost Pet Recovery booth that you guys had set up.
Yep.
At the Seattle Animal Shelter. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit healingallies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
I'm Rich Hallstrom. Join me and my co-host Tim Humphrey every Monday at 1 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 for Motivation with a Purpose, where we will tell the inspiring stories of people from all walks of life. Motivation with a Purpose every Monday from 1 to 2 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Well done, Eric.
Thank you.
You rose to meet the challenge of a Halloween-type dog song.
Two-headed dog.
Two-headed dog.
A little bit scary.
That works for me. A little bit scary. We're back with Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership. Welcome back, Kat.
Thank you.
So we were just talking before the break about 4th of July and what did you call that when you had four people on each corner?
Oh, the intersection alert?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you guys had a booth at the Seattle Animal Shelter on July, was it 5th, 6th, and 7th?
Uh-huh.
Like all day. You just had a booth set up outside the shelter, and you were just helping people who showed up at the shelter to either look and see if their lost pet was there or to make a report or to bring, bring a pet that they had found there. And I actually got to stop by that for a couple hours and see you guys in action, and it was really very inspiring. I witnessed actually some successes happening, you know, right there. I remember this guy showed up and he had lost his dog, and you guys had a list of all of the people who called in to report that they had found a dog and they were keeping the dog, you know, until they found the owner. And this guy's dog was one of the dogs that you guys had on your list. And it was as not simple as an easy, but as straightforward as him, you know, the dog matching the description of his dog, that you called the people, and it was like, we've got your dog. And I just remember his, you know, the emotion and how relieved he was to be reunited with his dog. And it was just so, so appreciative. And it was really wonderful to witness that.
Well, the reunion that you didn't get to see that I did, but that you were responsible in helping, was with the recovery of Odie. And Odie was a small terrier mix that belonged to a gal named Margie who lived in Port Angeles.
Yeah, I remember
her. Yeah, but mm-hmm. had was visiting a sick relative in the Veterans Hospital in Seattle.
Yeah.
And Odie escaped, and Margie had come. That happened on July 3rd, I believe, that Odie had gotten out. So when Margie contacted me a couple days later on July 5th, she was convinced that she would never see her dog again, that he had been hit by a car. And so she just didn't have any hope, and I just encouraged her, even though she lived in Port Angeles, just drive over here to the Seattle Animal Shelter. We're going to give you some, you know, some advice, some encouragement, and some free fluorescent posters for you to put up, and we're going to tag the back of your car, which I'll talk about in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we did all that for her, but you happened to be and live in the area of where she needed these posters to go up, so I gave these posters to Julie, and Julie went and put these posters up, and it was, I think, a day or 2 days later that I got the call from Margie, and she had got Odie back, that where Julie had posted these fluorescent posters, the woman who had had an unknown stray dog that was hiding in her backyard for several days happened to work right on that same street where those posters were, and so she got her dog back. It's just a remarkable story, and that testimonial is on her website. But thank you for volunteering for us, Julie, and going out and putting that poster up, because it made a difference.
Yeah, it was just such a great, you know, such a great success story. And I remember from that case, and I think that you deal with this a lot, where people really, you know, you really have to kind of pull them back into the search. Like, don't give up, because it's so hard for people emotionally, or they're wanting to just, you know, they know that they're anticipating having to grieve their pet, so they're just kind of wanting to, you know, get going with that, or it's too painful to not know. They just want closure, and a lot of times it's just, you just got to keep trying.
And that's called grief avoidance, and in the classes that we give, we talk about that, and that is why. Encouragement is key, because, you know, we're not giving false hope. I mean, you know, when a cat disappears in an area where there are coyotes, people tend to jump to the conclusion, or they're so afraid that their cat was killed by a coyote that they just believe that, and they don't search. They don't get in their neighbor's yard and look under their houses where their cat could be trapped or sick and injured and needing to get to a vet. But, you know, so we don't give false hope. We don't, when we go out on cases, we don't try to gloss things over, because, yes, certainly your dog could have been hit by a car, or your cat could have been killed by a coyote. But we conduct a very thorough investigation, utilizing, you know, deductive reasoning and other, you know, law enforcement techniques and technologies. We have so many case histories of where the dog or cat was alive and was recovered.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that you give up hope, or the moment you stop searching for your pet, is the moment that your dog or cat becomes absorbed in the feral cat population, becomes a dog that ends up in a shelter or in a distant foster home and up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just have to, as difficult as it is. You know, not to fault shelters, but they're not in the business of handing out a lot of encouragement or hope. They're in the business of, you know, making great adoptions when they can, but for the most part, they're busy, stressed, and mm-hmm. understaffed entities, and not really knowledgeable in how and where to search for lost pets. I mean, they're often telling you to, you know, put flyers in the neighborhood, talk to your neighbors, and, you know, put an ad in the paper and keep checking the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of cat people do, but they're not being told to, you know, to get under, that the behavior of a sick, injured, or panicked cat is that it will hide in silence, often in your neighbor's yard.
Mm-hmm. So I have some data from your July 5th through 7th Lost Pet Recovery Project, from when you were at a booth there working at the Seattle Animal Shelter in their lot. And there was the number of dogs reported lost was 15. And the number of dogs recovered due to your assistance was 7. So that's a 58% of the dogs that were recovered had your guys' assistance. And then there were five that were recovered by the owner. And then as of, I think, October 1st it was, there were three that were still missing.
Correct.
And then you go and you further broke it down that the dogs recovered that recovered due to your assistance. Three of them were from the fluorescent posters, one of them from the window tagging, one of them from Craigslist, one from the lost dog protest, and one using the calming signals. And it's all of these different aspects of how you guys educate and really cover all the bases, because you never know what is going to be the way that does actually connect you back to your pet. Is it the posters? Is it that, you know, in some cases, I know I watched a video, I think, on your website of a Bernese Mountain Dog where the dog was like 10 months old. So adolescent, overreactive, skittish personality anyway, got loose and was in a state park somewhere.
Yeah. And
the owners were like, the dog was right there. And the owners were right there and the dog, they couldn't catch the dog because the dog was just so like blinded by, you know, just being in the flight, like, oh, it's just so freaked out that it wouldn't even come to its owners. So
we just had another typical case like that. I mean, that was the Sophie case. That is, if you go to missingpetpartnership.org, you'll see the picture of the Bernese Mountain Dog near the bottom on our website. You can click on that. It's a very long, very detailed blog, but it was a learning it was an experiment learning process for us. We wanted to learn because this dog refused to go in the humane trap.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we had to devise other methods and, you know, built a drop net using our pop-up tent and, you know, attempting to trap and catch this dog. And we learned so much from that case. And ultimately, I think it took 7 weeks, but we ultimately caught her. But we just had a case in Everett of a gal named Sam who had adopted, and I believe she had only had this dog. His dog is Daisy, a Basset Hound. She had only had Daisy for a couple weeks when Daisy, puppy mill dog, skittish temperament, escaped. Sam couldn't catch her. She tried to use the humane trap from us, but she kept up the fluorescent posters to generate sightings, and then we instructed her how not to call her dog, and I can talk about that when we come back from the commercial, that you don't want to call the dog when it's in that panic state. It took her 3.5 months. She lost this dog in June, and she just borrowed the trap from us on, I think it was October 17th, and within 2 hours caught Daisy. And there's a picture and testimony on her website, a picture of her and Daisy. It's just remarkable.
Wow. Well, yes, let's take another commercial break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Listen live at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150. We're back with Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership and author of The Lost Pet Chronicles, Adventures of a Canine Cop Turned Pet Detective. And we have one copy of that book. It's a signed copy by Kat to give away right now to the first caller. All you have to do is call in. You don't have to come on air if you don't want to. Just give us a call. And
of course, if you do have a question,
we'd love to have you on air, but you don't have to come on air. So feel free, give us a call. And to the first caller, we're going to send out a copy of Kat's book, The Lost Pet Chronicles, Adventures of a Canine Cop Turned Pet Detective. And that number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. And we'll get you out a free copy, a signed copy of Kat's book, The Lost Pet Chronicles, Adventures of a Canine Cop Turned Pet Detective. And I loved that book. It was a really interesting story of your journey from a young woman just before you got into police work, but where you had your one dog who was an Aussie mix, I think, and then you got your Weimaraner Rachel, and you started to train her to track scent, and your journey all the way from there to here. So really, really interesting. Lots of kind of exciting stories of cases that you worked with your dogs and finding people who were hiding in the woods and all this kind of stuff. I think, yeah. I read it on the airplane. I was flying to Missouri or Boston or something like that. And I just, like, it was one of those books that it really passed the time. I mean, I just burned through it.
Yeah.
Because it was so interesting. So I know that the lines have lit up, Kat. So that last book is gone now to a lucky caller. So we were talking about the 4th of July stats and the window tagging that you're doing. What was it that we were I can't remember what we left off at.
I was talking about calming signals,
yes.
And I thought I would talk a little bit more about that. I mean, that mm-hmm. that's actually a book called Calming Signals by Turid Rugas.
Yes, yeah.
And there's a video with it, too. And we, in the course, when we teach pet detectives about how to approach a stray animal, we teach about, you know, how you do not want to stare and look at a dog or walk towards it, a panicked, afraid dog, and that is a threatening gesture. Dogs are all about body language and communication, and so some ways to calm a panicked dog down would be instead to feign like you're sniffing on the ground. So one thing that we teach is instead of calling a dog, and this isn't in Turid's information, but this is what we've learned. Many times when a dog is in that displaced, panicked, fight-or-flight mode, and it's outrunning or it's fleeing from people, the moment that somebody then steps out of their house or out of their car and says, "Come here, baby," and pats their leg and calls the dog, that can freak the dog out and soon becomes a trigger, so that anybody else calling the dog from that point on, including the owner, can set that dog into another panic mode where it's going to run. So that, you know, or the owner out there in a frantic voice calling for the dog, you know, you would think that the dog would recognize the owner and come to them, but sometimes, and this happens even with not the totally skittish dogs, we've seen it with other dogs that the owners thought had more of a solid temperament, but maybe they were either hit by a car or had a near miss of being hit by a car, and or somebody chased them with a broom or something, and then from that point on, you know, calling them becomes the wrong thing. So we even recommend that you make a noise, but then you, you know, make a nummy, nummy, nummy noise and fiddle with food, have a bag of potato chips. Oops, I dropped some on the ground. You're doing anything to catch the dog's attention, but not look at the dog, not walk towards the dog, but you sit down or lay down or do things like this other than going. The last thing you want to do is directly stare at the dog and call the dog and walk towards the dog, because that can trigger the dog to run. There's even a case under our website, again, missingpetpartnership.org, and on the far right there's testimonials. If you look at the praise for Seattle pet detectives, there's one case of a chocolate labradoodle that was loose and running from her family up in the foothills. And one of our volunteers, Jim Branson, went out. He's become he's the one that really counsels people on the hard-to-catch dogs. He's the one that helped on the Sophie case and just helped with Sam getting back Daisy and the trap. And this other particular case, he and the owner drove up the next morning, and the missing dog, I believe her name was Coco, was right there. But when they stepped out of the car, he instructed them, don't look at her, don't talk to her. They just started playing Frisbee with each other. They just started tossing the Frisbee, or maybe it was a ball, back and forth, and ignored the dog. And the dog had this look of concern, and then you could see that look of concern go away. There's a way of watching and looking at a dog without looking at the dog, but out of the corner of your eye.
Uh-huh.
And Jim was able to watch as this dog, the recognition came on the face, and the dog came right up to them wagging the tail, and they were able to just nonchalantly take him by the collar, as opposed to, Coco, come here, Coco, come here,
right,
and having the dog take off and bolt.
Right. So was it the kind of thing where the dog got almost distracted enough from the stress of the situation that it was able to, like when you said that recognition happened where it clicked for the dog, like, wait a minute, that's my owner.
Probably that was probably the case, that it clicking with the owner, plus the owner was no longer calling with a concerned voice.
Right.
And was ignoring the dog and just simply, you know, reacting in the way that they were relaxed and playing with this toy, and, you know, and then the dog came up to them.
Yeah.
I remember that the dog was scared, had gotten separated from the owner, and also was scared because noises were echoing in there.
Yeah. I was thinking it'd be funny to, I mean, that rings a bell for me when I'm working with clients and teaching classes about even just teaching the dog come here, or if your dog gets away from you, to not run towards the dog, because oftentimes what happens is the dog runs further away from you. And I know what I've done and found success with is I actually move in the opposite direction. Now, this is not with a dog that's run away, but so there's not that panic involved, but running kind of in the opposite direction. And I've even fallen to the ground and started flailing, and then the dog's like, whoa, what's going on over there? And then they come over to check it out, and then you grab their collar. So I see I have the Washington Pet Gazette in front of me, a free publication. It's a little newspaper, and I was looking through the fall publication, the October issue, and I saw that you have an article in it, Pet Detectives, What They Do and How to Become One. I just saw that today.
And I'm sure I saw that and just it slipped my mind. So, you know, we're trying our best to get the information out there that we are now available for, you know, we're attempting to recruit volunteers, but we also now are starting to go out and work searches and making ourselves available for consultations both locally and nationally. And fortunately, you know, donations have plummeted, and so we're pretty much in a position where we need to charge for our services. You know, we do offer the information on the website for free, and you know, and if somebody's not able to afford a consultation, especially if they're local here, we will, you know, like I've already this week done pretty much two consultations where I'm not charging a fee, but just encouraging them. But we're really needing, you know, donors and supporters and volunteers to help us build this concept here in Seattle, but also on a national level.
And there's a way that I saw in your newsletter that people can donate by ordering the car window tagging markers and having them sent to you guys. Is that right?
Correct. If you go on to our website, missingpetpartnership.org, there is an area there. Trying to remember it now, so I'm bringing it up as we speak. There's an area there under the About Us section that has the area called Wish List. And if you click on that, you'll see a picture of my cat begging for donations. But there's actually pictures of what we're talking about with the window tagging and how you can order these fluorescent markers. What these are and this is one reason why we're wanting to recruit volunteers in the Seattle area, is even if we have volunteers that can't come out on physical searches with us, don't have a time, but if you're willing to use the back of your car as a billboard so that when we get a lost Dalmatian in Ballard, you'd get an email from us that says, you know, Dalmatian, blue collar, Ballard, and the owner's phone number, and then you use these fluorescent water-resistant markers that you, just the way you write just married on the back of your car, we tag cars with lost dog information so that when you're driving to the store, driving to work, driving in your community, you're helping somebody market their lost dog. So you can go to our website, and we have a place where you can click on to sign up as a volunteer, or you can donate markers to us on the About Us wish list page.
So About Us wish list. Oh, okay. I see that down there. And you also have really easy right on the homepage a place where you can donate, help us rescue lost pets, and you just enter in the amount, click on PayPal. Every little bit helps, so if you can spare even just, you know, $10, $25, $50, it doesn't have to be a huge donation, but enough of those coming in will really help you guys to continue to do the important work that you do. And something that's, we're going to take another quick break here, but before we go, you know, the one of, not only that you are reuniting lost pets with people, but that this also really supports shelters because it keeps these lost pets from becoming labeled stray and ending up in that system and either being rehomed or not being rehomed. Thousands of dogs, was it some thousands of dogs a day or I know millions, I think, a year are euthanized because they don't have, they just don't have a place to go. And a lot of those dogs actually ended up in a shelter because they got lost. So, so that again, any amount that you can donate helps this organization, missingpetpartnership.org. It's right there on the homepage. You can either donate a dollar amount or go to the wish list page and donate by purchasing some of those markers where people, where they can tag their windows and support that, that volunteer base as well. So we're going to take our last break today, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. We'll take your phone calls and answer your animal or human medical care questions, plus a special book giveaway on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Wellness Natural Food for Pets uses simple, pure, authentic ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. All wellness recipes include lean meats, whole grains, fruits, and veggies with no meat byproducts, no wheat, no corn, no soy, or artificial preservatives. For an exclusive savings offer and to find Wellness at a pet specialty retailer near you, visit wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. That's wellnesspetfood.com/Seattle. Join Wellness on Facebook and Twitter today.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural, Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Kat Albrecht, founder of Missing Pet Partnership and author of The Lost Pet Chronicles. Welcome back, Kat.
Thank you.
So you had a success story with Roxy.
Yes.
The cat. And we only have a few more minutes left. And so I want to make sure you get to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. So why don't you share with us about that?
Well, this was a case that we worked just about a week and a half ago, where we were called out to Maple Valley to search for a 9-month-old orange tabby that is blind. He was apparently, when he was a 6-week-old kitten, accidentally crushed in a chair recliner by his former owner. And so Dr. Jan White, who's a vet at Sawyer Lake Vet Hospital in Maple Valley, adopted the kitten and nursed him back to health and repaired his dislocated neck.
Mm-hmm.
But he, unfortunately, because of the accident, he went blind, or he was no longer able to see.
Mm-hmm.
So as a 9-month-old kitten, Dr. White was carrying groceries into the house and didn't realize that Roxy was right by the door and that he apparently had slipped outside, because she discovered him missing a couple hours later.
Mm-hmm.
So she launched her own search, couldn't find him. The next morning, had her staff members print up flyers, knocked on neighbors' doors, handed the flyers out, talked to kids at a bus stop and, you know, throughout the area, and then contacted Missing Pet Partnership. Well, we took a tracking dog, we took the cat detection dog, we used a plumber camera, a 2 million candle power spotlight, and we went and did a search for Roxy. We ultimately kept doing what we call an area search, where we went yard to yard to yard, looking under and in every conceivable hiding place, and we were doing that for 2 hours when a sighting came in. Well, the sighting was 9 blocks away. So we drove over there, but when we got there, I realized this is too far. Is it possible the cat traveled this far? We didn't know how far a blind cat would travel, but we realized it's not probable. It's
mm-hmm.
more probable, and getting back to search probability theory, it's more probable that Roxy was nearby in one of the neighbor's yards. So we went back to the neighborhood and began searching the rest of the houses there. And in the last house, it was a house that was a corner house, and we went into the backyard, and I'm using the cat detection dog in one corner of the yard, and Jim Branson, one of our volunteers, got in his stomach and looked under the deck, and there was Roxy going around and around and around. You know, he's a blind cat, so he just walks
mm-hmm.
in circles. Well, we couldn't reach him because the deck was too low and we're kind of, you know, big.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to recruit. It was so cute. We recruited a neighbor boy. He's probably about 10 or 11 years old, and I found out later that he had already told Dr. White when she told him at the bus stop that her cat was missing. He had told her, I'm going to help you find that cat.
Yeah.
And so we had him climb under. We deputized him as a junior pet detective on the spot.
Uh-huh.
He climbed on his belly and was able to grab Roxy, bring her out, and we were able to put him inside of Roxy is a male. It's a female name, but he's a male.
Yeah.
We put Roxy in a cat bag and took him back to Dr. White. It was just really, really great. We just put a press release out on that, and mm-hmm. we're just so grateful that this neighbor boy was able to volunteer himself and made himself available to help out like that. And that,
yeah.
you know, it didn't take a dog to find the missing cat. It took, and here we have a professional woman who spent her life helping animals and people, and yet she did what most people do, which is hand flyers out. The owner of the home said she had looked in her yard
mm-hmm.
for the cat, but she had not gone on her belly and looked under the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, it's a really cute story. I'm glad the cat is found and safe back in the home. And
yeah.
You're going to be at Luther Burbank Park this weekend?
Correct. We train dogs every Saturday. We rotate between Luther Burbank Park on Mercer Island and Seward Park. So we invite anybody who wants to come and watch or ultimately volunteer with us to come on out to our dog training. And you can go to missingpetpartnership.org.
Mm-hmm.
And under Seattle Pet Detectives, there's a volunteer training event, and you'll see the dates and times and location. We will be having a volunteer orientation coming up in November. We just haven't set the date, so you can check back in another week to see how you can get involved or
mm-hmm.
email us.
Mm-hmm. Lots of ways to volunteer for Missing Pet Partnership if you're interested. And, of course, they also just need donations, so you can go to the website. Right on the homepage, you can either donate a dollar amount or under their About Us section, the wish list, you'll see that they're asking for those markers that you use for your window tagging, which is a very effective method in marketing a lost pet. So just purchasing those markers and getting those sent to them is a big help as well. And we'll look forward to having you back again in the future, Kat, and certainly keep me posted on all of your activities, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for being on the show.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
One of my favorite organizations, Missing Pet Partnership. Again, that's missingpetpartnership.org, and you can go and check out all of their information, their pictures, testimonials of their stories. Even video footage of lost dogs, that Bernese Mountain Dog, Sophie. It's really interesting footage to watch how that dog really does act. They have night cameras and stuff like that. So, highly recommend going to that website. And you can also catch any archived show of this show, the Dog Talk Show. We have about 9 months of shows on the website just waiting for you to listen to. So www.dogtalkshow.com. That's www.dogtalkshow.com. You can click on the podcast page, and all of the shows will just come up, and they're all labeled as to who the guest was, if there was a guest, or the author, and all that kind of stuff. And you can just click on any show and listen to it. And I've been doing dog requests, song requests for dogs. So you can email me host@dogtalkshow.com if you would like me to request a song to Eric or basically just play a song at the end of the show for your dog. And I can, you know, talk about your dog on air. And
it could be a song that reminds you of your dog or a song that your dog happens to enjoy.
That your dog likes to sing to, which was one we had, I think it was last week.
Yeah, we had Hawaii 5-0 on that dog liked to sing and dance to, I think.
Yes, and dance. So feel free to email me with that information, host@dogtalkshow.com. And in the meantime, I will continue, if I don't have a request for someone else's dog, I'll continue to play songs for my dog, Chewy, who I had to put down a couple months ago. He was 12, and this is what inspired me to start this. So email me, host@dogtalkshow.com, if you would like me to dedicate a song to your dog and who's your dog and all that kind of stuff. So I drove by Dog-O-Ween last weekend. I didn't have time to stop, but I saw some pretty great costumes out there. There was a dog dressed up as a turtle, had this big plush turtle outfit, and there's one dressed up as a ladybug, and it was really cute. So I know Missing Pet Partnership had a booth there, and it looked like there were a ton of people there. So I think it was a great turnout. You going to dress up, Eric, this Halloween?
I might, now that I've heard about this ladybug costume. I might have
that'd
to
be so cute.
No.
Well, this song is dedicated actually to one of Darcy's old dogs, probably all three of them, but certainly Grace, because the song has the word Grace in it a lot. So we're going to play a song by one of my favorites, Bonnie Raitt, for Grace, Stella, and Francis today. And we will see you or be with you next week, same time, same place. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
All tangled in daydreams and shielded with grace, I feel you beside me again. Wherever you may be, lift up your head for me. There's some